It's a joy and a privilege for me to be here this morning to worship with you. The blessings that we have in Christ, the common bond that we have with each other, sometimes we take things for granted. I enjoyed our time of fellowship yesterday with each other. The rain didn't stop the great fellowship, did it? You know, we look outside and see the beautiful weather we have today. I wonder if Brother Smith and Brother Jennings would mind having a picnic again today. It'd be great, wouldn't it? But I really enjoyed our time together. Such a joy that we have with each other and the wonderful fellowship, great blessing we have in Christ Jesus. I look forward to our combined service. I think that's the next event. It will be taking place over at Memorial Parkway on the 29th at the PM service. And I look forward to our time of worship together at that time. I know each of you, each of us are already praying that God's guidance and His providence will take place in our process as we work together. I think that's the desire of each one of us, that we want the Lord's will. We want the Lord's will and to be in this decision. So let me encourage each of you to continue your prayers in this regard as you, each of us, prays for our elderships and for each other, that the best for the body of Christ will take place. You may or may not be aware that last week, some of your education coordinators in your Bible school department met over at Parkway with some of our folks, sharing ideas about Bible curriculum. And that was a great meeting. I enjoyed our time together. Several years ago, we decided to write our own Bible school material. And so that has been a great blessing. And to look at so many similarities that we have in our Bible school area already, it was a great joy to share ideas with each other at that time. And I know your goals and our goals are the same in our Bible school curriculum, and that's, we want the best Bible school curriculum that our congregations can have to mature each one in Christ, and that's our goal. Your elders have assigned me this morning the topic of speaking on the importance of our Bible school and also the importance of studying God's Word. So I want that to be our lesson this morning. As you know, one of the responsibilities of our elders is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Bible says that they're to feed the church, in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, to feed the church. What an awesome responsibility. Just as a shepherd would feed the sheep, the elders are to feed the people what they need to mature them spiritually. And so I've entitled our lesson this morning, On Abounding More in Knowledge. I've taken that from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, where the Apostle Paul said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment." I think that should be the goal of every one of us as Christians, that we'll gain more and more in Bible knowledge each day of our life. I want to ask you the question as we begin our lesson this morning. Is it your desire to grow in knowledge in God's Word? I hope that every one of us in this assembly this morning can answer yes to that question. It's our desire to grow spiritually. It was Paul's prayer to the church at Philippi that we just read. And I know it's the desire of this eldership of this congregation for each of us and each of you to grow spiritually as well. I'm reminded what the great prophet Hosea said many years ago. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "My people perish. They're destroyed because of lack of knowledge." I hope that each of us will continue to grow in God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Apostle Peter encouraged us by saying, "You grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in grace and knowledge. There was a time, brothers and sisters, that our denominational friends would compliment us upon the Bible knowledge that we have in the churches of Christ. But you know, it's been years since I've had that compliment. I'm afraid that we have let so many things in our society push us out of studying God's Word the way that we should. When we look to what Jesus said long ago on the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I'm wondering if we're really thirsty. I'm wondering if we're really hungry as the way we should be in desiring God's precious book. I want to encourage each member of this congregation and those attending. If you're not presently attending the Bible classes of this congregation on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I hope that you'll prayerfully think about the things that we're going to talk about this morning, and that if you're not a regular part of these Bible classes, that you'll do so, that you'll become one. One of the greatest tools that we have in growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Bible school that's presented by us as Christians. What a wonderful opportunity of taking advantage of studying God's Word. So, if you haven't been attending, why not make a commitment in your life right now, starting today, that you'll be a part of the Bible classes offered here. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Peter told especially the new Christians on that occasion to desire the sincere milk of the Word that they can grow thereby. There has to be a desire within our hearts to grow spiritually. And I hope that, again, that's the case for each of us. I hope there were stronger Christians today than we were a year ago or even a week ago. Yes, we need to grow again in that sincere milk of the Word. If you and I had a child that stopped eating and that child stopped growing, we'd be concerned, wouldn't we? We understand that that child would need nourishment if it's going to survive. And the same is true spiritually speaking. As Christians and every Christian, we must continue to study in God's Word if we're going to grow spiritually the way that we should. All of us want to remain healthy, and the only way that we're going to remain spiritually healthy as a regular diet of God's Word. What would the results of growing in grace be? Our love for the Lord and our love for His Word and for each other will continue to grow if we abide up in the Word. Not all Christians have that desire, or many get things sidetracked along the way. We have good intentions, but somehow, the Bible is kind of put back, and many times we overlook to study it. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, turn to Hebrews chapter 5. There's a verse that's, to me, scary when I look at Christians at that time, the Hebrew Christians, and I hope that's not the case with us today. But look in verse 12. of chapter 5 in Hebrews. The Bible says there was a time when you ought to be teachers, that you have need of one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you become as such of have need of milk and not a strong meat. Here some Christians were not growing spiritually. They had been Christians for a long time, but they had but stopped studying God's Word. And as a result of that, they were not able to even teach someone else. In fact, they had need of someone go back and reteach them the first principles. So it's really not an age he's talking about of maturity here. Physically, he's talking about a maturity age. I know new Christians, it's been Christians 3 or 4 years, that's teaching and reaching their friends for Christ, and they haven't been a Christian very long. Put us to shame, some of those that's been Christians, some of us for a long time, and we're not growing, and they're the ones growing and maturing and nurturing in God's Word. Oh, a great example for us sometimes as we look to the new Christians that helps encourage us to read our Bibles even more. There's never been a time in the Lord's church that's greater than right now for us to have of knowledge of God's Word. The Lord's church is under attack. I don't need to tell you that. I appreciate the prayer this morning in our regards to our country, but also it's happening in the Lord's church as well. Because of the lack of knowledge, so many are departing from the simple truths of God's Word. Oh, how we need that precious Word of God to enter into our hearts and to keep it pure. The precious Word of God is food for our souls. It helps us. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Shouldn't that be the goal of each one of us as Christians, to continue to strive to do what God wants us to do? Well, how are we going to know His will? Brothers and sisters, there's only one way to know His will, and that's to search the Scriptures. To search the Scriptures. I hope it's the same motive, our same goal, as the psalmist said in chapter 1 and verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate day and night. I want to give us this morning for the lesson 5 reasons why we should study the Bible and why it should be so important to us. I hope that we'll take these 5 things and apply them in our lives. And I think in doing so, we'll be better people. Reason number 1 why we should study the Bible. It is God's divine pattern, His divine way. If we want a relationship with Him and His Son, we're going to have to see what the divine way says. That's why it's so, so important. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. It is in this passage that I believe is the key thrust of what Christianity is all about. One of the prophets long ago said in verse 44, notice this and following, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent him draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, Isaiah 54 and other prophets would prophesy, and they shall all be taught of God. You notice that? Every man therefore have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. It's divine will. A person won't find Christianity. They won't find Christ by accident. It's not something that you catch. It's a taught religion. And notice here that Christianity isn't taught, and we see that in the Great Commission, don't we? In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18 or 19, a passage that's familiar to all of us as we look at the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Notice that? It's a teaching process. It's a teaching process. And then, notice what he also said. They'll all be taught of God. Everyone, therefore, have heard. It's a hearing process. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by how? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is a hearing process with so that we will find the truth. And then the inspired writer says it's a learning process. "That have learned of the Father cometh unto me." Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." So, you see the importance of why we should study God's Word. It's because it's a divine pattern of God. There's no substitute. If we want to build a strong relationship with God, we're going to have to find out who God is. And His Word will point to that and help us through those inspired words to help us to gain that relationship that I know that each one of us desires. The second reason why it's so important to study God's Word. Faith comes by studying the Holy Scriptures. Now, we've already stated, Romans 10, 17, that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that God. And who, there's not a one of us here, I don't believe, that wants to gain more faith of God's Word. And if that's truly our desire, then we need to spend time in quietness with Him to learn about His Word and what He would want us to do while we're here upon this earth. When the storms of life come upon us, maybe a tragic in our life. It may be illness that we have found out with one of our loved ones or even ourselves. Whatever those storms are, and they will be many in our lives, but every time that we need the Word planted in that relationship with God is during those times. Those times we can be sustained if we have that desire and that relationship and the Word is dwelled within our hearts. There's no substitute for reading God's Word. If we want to have the kind of faith, I've heard people say, "Oh, I'd love to have the faith that Brother Mike or somebody's got." Well, I want to tell you something. Chances are that individual has spent a lot of time in studying God's Word individually. And so if we want to have the kind of faith of brother or sister so-and-so, guess what? We need to spend time with God in His holy Word. It's God's plan for each of us to have a very strong faith in Him. I'm reminded what the Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, a passage that's familiar to all of us, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So that should be our desire, to seek the Lord, be pleasing to Him. Why? Because God, our loving Heavenly Father, has given us everything that we need for life and godliness founded in the pages of this book called the Bible. I'm reminded what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 brings this out to us. "According as His divine power have given to us all things that pertain for life and godliness," all things. There's not one thing needed outside the Word of God to make you spiritually strong and healthy in relationship with God. So how are we going to do? The only way we're going to have any benefit from this is to read about God and find out who He is and to build that relationship stronger each day of our lives with Him. This divine book called the Bible, it's a complete book. That's the reason you can rely on it. It's from God. 2 Peter chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You notice that? God breathed. This is God speaking to us directly. And so, oh, how important it is for we to study this beautiful book called the Bible that He's given to us so we can relate to Him and become part of Him. Oh, it's such an important book. That complete book will stand throughout the ages of time. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. I love the Bible because it's always existed. It could always depend on. It's never been proven wrong. And so why shouldn't we study the book, the books that would help us in knowing what is right, the truth of the matter in all religious things. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In verse 14, that Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Yes, from the foundations of the world, our Bibles existed. That's how precious a book that we're holding in our hands this morning. It will exist throughout the end of time. And when the Lord comes back and this earth will be destroyed by fire, this book will not be destroyed. Every book that's ever been written throughout our history, every one of those books will be destroyed at that day. But this book will not be destroyed by fire. It will be forever and ever. For that reason, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the truth. Oh, how we should long and desire to know the truth of the matter. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If one's faith, as we could sing, comes through the study of God's holy, inspired Word, then simply, if I'm not reading, my faith could decrease. You see, it's important for us each to be daily Bible readers because faith comes by that hearing of God's Word and understanding and studying His Word. So my faith can increase or decrease depending upon my relationship and studying that Bible. I've never talked to a delinquent Christian, unfaithful Christian, in 27 years of full-time work. I've yet to talk to one that said, I'm reading my Bible daily. Did you know that? A person that falls away and becomes unfaithful, I can assure you of this right here. That person's relationship with God and His Word has decreased. They're not studying the Bible. So you see why I want to encourage you to study. I want you to remain faithful to the Lord. I want each of us to go to heaven someday. And the only way that we're going to go to heaven is to remain true and faithful to His teaching. And then, why should we study the Bible? Well, it helps us to have that fellowship and that bond, encourage each other to remain faithful to the Lord. I know why the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 would tell us in verse 25 not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why is that the case? Well, you notice right there in verse 24, just above that, to provoke one another into love and to good work, to encourage each other and to build each other up in the faith. That's what it's all about. We help each other, and through that knowledge of God's Word, we can have that unity and that bond and that fellowship together. Many years ago, I remember in Springfield, Missouri, After service or between worship and Bible class, I was talking to one of the deacons. And he was excited on that day. I remember years back remembering that. And he had expressed to me that that day makes it 20 years that he had been a daily Bible reader and hadn't missed a single day. I walked away from our conversation thinking, you know, I want to be able to say that myself someday. I'm not studying the Bible the way I need to do that. And I remember from that day, I set as a goal, by the example of what this deacon had said, that I want to do the same. And now, as I look back, that was 30 years ago this year, that I haven't missed a single day of reading God's Word. What a great blessing that has been in my life. It's like brushing your teeth. You just remember to do those kind of things. So I want, boy, you see why it's so important to grow in grace and that knowledge of Christ. If you're not a daily Bible reader, this guy doesn't even aware of what the encouragement that he gave me that day. But suppose that I would have misworshipped on that day. I would have never heard the fellowship and these comments by this brother who encouraged me to set as a goal to be a daily Bible reader in God's Word. Would you do that this morning? Would you make that commitment in your own life? From this day forward, that you're going to spend time in studying God's Word. So your faith can grow each day of your life. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. Obtaining those virtues of the Christian life that we all desire. I remember what Peter said. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. To add to your faith, that's where it begins, faith. To add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. And then we tap it all off with love. Oh, it's a knowledge process. It's a growing process in these Christian virtues. Well, number three, why study the Bible and why it's so important to us is because without studying, we cannot believe. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. You notice what John said on that occasion? Many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of, in his presence of his disciples that are not written in these books. But these are written, what? That you might believe. These are written down for us to know, to understand, and to believe. So reading God's Word, we have a stronger belief system, don't we? Yes, and that's what should be our desire of each one of us, to have a stronger belief system in our Lord. Reason number four why we should study our Bibles and why it's so important to us is that we'll be able to teach others. We'll be able to teach others. Well, we'll be able to teach, number one, non-Christians. As we already stated in the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. So that's one reason we want to teach our friends and our people that we are associated with, the people we work with. We want to influence them to know what the truth of the matter says about becoming a Christian and following God. And then also, we're to teach the new converts, the new Christians. Sometimes we leave out that verse 20 as we look to Matthew chapter 28. We understand the Great Commission, but you notice what the inspired writer said in verse 20. Teaching them, who? Those that have been baptized. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's our responsibility, to teach new converts as well, so we could, again, encourage them and build them up in the faith. And how can we teach them all things unless we know what all things are? And so you see why it's imperative for us to spend time in the Word, to see what those commandments are, to share with others. And then we're also not to only teach those that are non-Christians and new converts, but to teach your own families as well. Don't you love in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 where it talks about Timothy and the influence that he had with his mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. You remember them. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So So Timothy was blessed to have a godly mother and grandmother that cared about him and shared the scriptures with him daily, and what as a result became a great gospel preacher. So you see the influence that we should have on our families as well. Shouldn't the real thing be like Joshua of old said? You remember in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We can't let things in our lives sidetrack us from the greatest, greatest book of all, the Bible. And so you see why we ought to read the Bible on a daily basis. Parents and grandparents, I know you want your children and grandchildren to go to heaven, don't you? Well, it begins at home by setting that example like we've read about. Do they see you reading the Bible at home? Do they see you encouraging devotions in the home and priorities in our Bible school here at worship and other times here in the congregation? I hope that's the case. I hope our goal is like those long ago in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Teach God the word to your children diligently. Talk to them when they sit in your house, when they walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." It's an ongoing process, and I hope they can see us seeking the kingdom first in our own lives, seeking kingdom first. The church is the number one priority, and I hope and pray that that will make a difference in their lives, that they'll want to also read God's word and want to do His will, just like we're encouraging them. But folks, it comes by an example. It comes from us. And then the Bible also teaches us and our families how to live right. If there's ever been a day that we need to know how to live in our society, it's now. Yes, it's now. Titus chapter 1 and verse, or chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world that we live. So it tells us how to live right. It tells us how to bring up our children. It tells us how to live and treat our spouses. It tells us how to everything that we really need and desire in our lives. It's a complete book. It answers all of those questions. So, oh, how we need to spend time to know what God's will, to how to direct our lives and how to direct our kids and our and others that we come in contact each day of our lives. And then the last but not least, the fifth reason why it's so important and a reason to study God's word, it's a command by God. It's that simple. God knows a lot more about it than we know. He commands us to study the scriptures, and it's a violation of sin if we don't study the scriptures. Did you know that? Because it's the best for us, and God wants the best for us. He wants us to go to heaven, and He's given us a complete book, a book to follow. So He's commanding each one of us to study that, to find out who He is and how to be pleasing to Him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, "Take heed, give heed to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching until I come." And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a verse that's familiar to probably all of us. "Study to show ourselves approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Again, we need to know how to rightly divide things, don't we? I want to know if something's right or something's wrong, don't you? I don't want to speculate about something. I want to go to the book that has all the answers. All the answers, nothing left unturned, to be sure exactly what kind of faith that God wants me to in that particular question that I've got in my heart. So that's the reason we should. It's a commandment of God to find out what is right. Don't you love the early church and how they grew? But one reason that they took off and flourished the way that they did, we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly, regularly in the apostles' doctrine, and the fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayers." That's how they took off. They were growing spiritually, just like Paul had encouraged them later on to grow more and more in love, that knowledge, and in all judgment. Then a final word to your elders. There's an awesome responsibility with an eldership. I hope that each elder here is studying the Bible 2 or 3 hours a day. We need to take time. They need to take time to study, to help us. Remember, it's their responsibility to feed the flock. And so they need to have time and studying because, again, if there's ever been a time for the church to have godly men that knows the book, the time is now. In Acts chapter 20, as we already stated a while ago, one of the responsibilities of them is to feed us the pure and simple word of God. The simplicity of it is all we ask, nothing more and nothing less. That's what we ask, and that's their desire. Why is that the case? Why should they have a good Bible knowledge? Well, we didn't read verse 29 and 30 earlier, but listen what the inspired writer says. For this I know, that after my departure shall come grievous wolves in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of yourselves shall men arise, teaching perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You see why elders need to have a strong knowledge of God's word. And I hope that we can help them in doing our part as individual members of congregations, that we will study and to grow to help make their work a joy to be shepherding over us. So you see, studying God's word is everybody's responsibility. But it all begins on an individual basis. It begins with us. Love it, learn it, live it, and then pass it on to someone else. I close with Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the following verse after the exhortation by the elders. Paul says, I commend to you to God and the word which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all which are sanctified. Notice that. Give us the word of God that's able to build us up and to give us that inheritance that someday that heaven would be our home together. That's the goal of each one of us. Do you have that inheritance this morning? We hadn't talked about it directly, but obviously you have to follow that divine pattern on becoming a Christian. No doubt you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to turn your life from sin and to follow what he says in his divine pattern? Willing to confess his name, the sweetest name that's ever been said on you? And then are you willing to submit in burial, in immersion, in water for the forgiveness of your sins? You become a new creature, a new child of God on your way to heaven. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He'll help us. He'll have us on our side. Wouldn't that be a wonderful joy? If there's someone here this morning that's not a Christian, I hope that this will be the morning that you will surrender your life to him, deny yourself, and take up the cross and follow him. Maybe you've wandered away. Why not be restored this morning? Why not come back to the first love again and begin anew? The wonderful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, why not take advantage of that? That blood will continue to work in our lives as it does with each of us. And I want to also say, if you're not a daily Bible reader, would you make that commitment? You don't have to come forward. Would you make that commitment right now in your own hearts that you're going to spend more time in studying of God's word as of today, this day forward? If there's a need spiritually in your life, we're going to sing a song. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we hope you'll do that this morning while we stand and while we sing.